Senate will please come to
order. Roll call.
Roll call for Tuesday, February 9th. Anderson?
Here.
Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Boner?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe? Cooper?
Here.
Kraft?
Here.
Dockstetter?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Escabel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Hinsky?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Pappas?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Fladern?
Here.
Wasterberger?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
President Nicholas?
Here.
30 present.
Folks, I think you've sort of figured this out, but we're going to build our schedule around JAC these first few days so that if they're finishing up their activities as they're moving down, we'll wait for them. If there comes a time, Chairman Ross, where you need to blow through and let us know, but to the extent possible, we're going to work around your schedule. The pledge we're going to have today is going to be with the Dildine class, so we may push off the pledge for a little bit until we get the Dildine class coming in to join us. If we begin this morning with a prayer by Father Cronkleton.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we settle into the routine of this session, help us to use our committees well so that they promote what we do here in the full Senate. Do not, O Lord, let us lose sight of the purpose of this work as legislation continues to be introduced and debated, referred to committee, discussed, and referred back to the full Senate. In the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance, which the students of Dildine Elementary School will do for us later this morning, let us find the assistance that we need to always keep in sight that our allegiance is to be to the people of our state and that we stand united under our God, whose guidance we seek to help us to pursue liberty and justice for all. It is in seeking this common good of all the people that we promote the good of the individual and make our state stronger and better. This is one of the principles that guides us in our holy and honorable task this day. Bless, therefore, our day and the work which we do. We ask all this in your divine name. Amen.
Amen. Are we ready for the pledge? I don't think yet. So. Oh, we are. Okay, great. Our pledge is going to be with the Dildine class. They do this annually. And they're going to come and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And if you would join us in welcoming these, Anna Carter is the teacher. And, yep, great.
Call roll.
Yeah. Here. Oh, we're going to call roll with the kids? We can call roll for you guys, make sure everybody's there.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here.
Okay, guys, we're going to turn towards the side.
All right.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, wait, we got it. Now, typically they do their pledge, and I want all of you to listen to it, because you need to follow these same instructions. Will you provide them? Yes.
Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you very much. We're sure glad you came to see us. Thank you. What did he say? Oh, UW. I thought you. Yeah, that was UW, University of Wyoming.
That was University of Wyoming.
Yeah, I saw some. Yeah, there's. They did not say Utah. They said University of Wyoming. They could have said University of Phil, and they would have gotten it there fine too. And the I want the people in the last row to honor the pledge. I'd like you to learn more. I'd like you to be more respectful to the president and everybody in the class. Yeah, good luck. I thought you'd say that. Let's see, the doctor of the day is Dr. Kimberly Broomfield. I don't know if we have the doctor. The nurse of the day is Sherry Rubio Wallace. Sherry, is that you? Everybody, thank her to be here. And I think it's time to, we ought to introduce our page. It's Chandler Brooke Pauling. Senator Hatcher, would you like to do the introductions? Sure, come on up. Why don't you go here, come on up here, the guest. Go ahead, you have the mic.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. Chandler Brooke Pauling, she is my wife's daughter, and it certainly is a pleasure to have her. She's a senior in high school, Laramie High School. She's a math whiz, so if any of you have any questions or have any concerns about the budget and need to add up some numbers, Chandler is excellent at math. She's graduating this year, and she's kind of has her feelers out for several different colleges. I know UW is one of them, and she's looking around at a couple other options. So we certainly welcome her to the Senate, and it's a pleasure to have her with us.
I also see that Chandler was the participant in the Wyoming mock trial. She's in Key Club. Chandler, don't leave yet. We're going to give you a pin here. Her great-grandmother was the first woman to be elected from Lincoln County to the Wyoming State Legislature, and her grandfather, also from Lincoln County, served in the House from the 60s and the 70s. And Chandler, we're really delighted to have you here. We have a pin for you that we give to the pages that I'd like to present to you. And if you'd like to, we give you an opportunity to talk, but you're going to have to talk at the end, so you might just give yourself a look. You want to save it? But we're glad to have you here.
Thank you
very much. I'll tell you, right there is a mic. If you want to just introduce yourself a little bit to everybody, and we're glad to have you.
Sorry. You guys have been so nice, so thank you, and thanks for this opportunity.
Thank you very much. We're glad to have you. Thank you for joining us. Okay. Today in Wyoming history, in 1933, a state record was set when the temperature dropped to minus 66 degrees in Yellowstone National Park. The session status. Today is day two of the proposed 20-day session. Wednesday at noon is the deadline for all bill drafts to be in final form at the LSO. I guess that's tomorrow. We're getting through today most of the committee-sponsored bills. If you have individual sponsored bills that you want introduced, I'll be here all day. I don't have any place to go but talk to me, because I'm now trying to decide which bills to get introduced in which order. So if you've got an individually sponsored bill, please talk to me. Don't just assume that it's going to get introduced. I think that takes us to introduction and reading and reference of bills. Thank you. Senate File 10, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 10, Firearms Exemption from Execution, sponsored by Senator Perkins.
I knew that word execution was going to come back to haunt me. You sure that's not escort?
Yeah.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move Senate File 10 and ask for the body's favorable consideration for the purposes of a two-thirds introductory vote. What this is a simple bill. We have a number of exemptions from creditors in Wyoming. You have exemptions for your house. You have exemptions for cars. You have exemptions for tools of the trade. You have exemptions for a number of other things. And this is an additional exemption. It's an exemption that would create an exemption for firearms for individuals and accompanying ammunition. At the point, this bill is three firearms and 1,000 rounds of ammunition for each. There's nothing magic about either the number three or the number 1,000. But as when you look at that, and my thought process on this was simply that at the end of the day, in this day and age, I don't think banks and secured creditors, people like that, aren't very interested in having firearms, taking those back from you, and they're not very interested. And certainly, if anybody who, when they buy ammunition, no, you can't return ammunition. So it's not like ammunition is also something that is something that creditors are really going to take from you. So anyway, in that regard, I thought with additional the other exemptions that this is one that actually has some foundation in the U.S. Constitution. So with that, I ask for your favorable consideration.
Okay, folks, we're going to try something different today. I'm going to light up the microphones on Peterson, Christensen, Esquivel. I'm going to light up the microphones on Nicholas, Pappas, and Hicks. These three rows, and then we're going to call the roll call. What we're trying to do is see if those mics, as they work, will pick up the votes so folks in the back can hear the votes as they're called out. So it's just an experiment. Roll call.
Anderson.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Boner.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski? Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
No. Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
Kinski?
Here.
No, I think it's an aye or a no.
Aye.
President Nicholas.
Yeah. Do you know what that bill was?
It was a good little bill.
Good little bill.
President Nicholas?
It is an aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 aye, 2 no.
What do you think, legislature of the year? NRA?
By your vote, Senate File 10 has passed by a two-thirds majority of the Senate and is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Did the folks in the back, were you able to hear the votes? Nope, didn't work. You know, I don't know if what's going to work. The mics simply aren't picking up the votes as they go out. You know, Larry, the other thing we might do is the next time we do it, just open that door while we're voting, and maybe we just open these two doors while we're voting and close them. Just see, Well, if the door is open, will that pick up any sound going through there just for the voting? Was it any better when we did it the other day than today?
Just once in a while, it became
Say that again. And, you know, the problem is our computer limitation is that we can't throw on all the mics because it can only pick up a finite number of mics at the same time. And I suspect what's happening, among other things, is if we load up too many mics, there's just not enough power sending them from a mic recovery to the back. So what we'll try one more test here in a minute when we go to the next one. We'll do, just to see what happens, I'll do Case, Hastert. Actually, what I'll try, I'll just do try two, maybe Case, Bonflader and Landon and Cole, and we'll just see what happens and see if at some point Senator Pappas. You've got an engineering solution, architectural engineering solution?
Now, Mr. Chairman, may I suggest that the clerk just simply repeat the vote?
I don't want to do that. I understand the courtesy, but so what you're saying is ask the clerk to repeat the vote after every...
No, as we vote. They would say Pappas, yes.
You want to try that? Does that make it better or worse? Is that... What? Yeah, that's Senator Office points out they're directional mics. They're not intended to pick up a global there. So, all right, we're going to give that a try, even though it's done in Washington. All right, the next bill for our consideration is Senate File 17. First reading.
Senate File 17, Notice of Mineral Property Transfer, sponsored by Revenue Committee.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move Senate File 17 for introduction and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Folks, this is a bill that Revenue picked up as a problem. If you've ever served on the county level of government, you've been bit a number of times, I'm sure, by companies being traded, wells transferred, different ownership, and then people disappearing and taxes not being able to be collected. So this is an effort to try to take care of that. The notification 30 days prior to the transfer to the commission. The commission then in turn informs the county, and the county then is a little more aware of what's going on. This information is still kept confidential, as it always has been, so nothing changes there. It just gives the county a heads up. That's all the intention of this bill is. Ask for your favorable consideration.
Roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Burns, aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Escobel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Flatron?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. Repeat, Von Flatron, aye. Wasserberger, aye. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no.
Senate File 17, having received a two-thirds majority of the vote, is introduced to or assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Well, that seems like a good solution. I just hate to admit that it came from an architect. All right. Senate File 19, first reading.
Senate File 19, Public Funds Investing, sponsored by the Revenue Committee.
I'm going to make sure that we did the last bill correctly. The last bill, Senate File 17, was assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. And it did pass by two-thirds majority. Now we're at Senate File 19. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move Senate File 19, Public Funds Investing, for introduction, ask for the body's favorable consideration. This is the bill that allows local governments to be able to invest with our state treasurer's office in a pool for long-term investing. The meat of it is on page 3, where it states, upon request, counties, school districts, towns, other local government entities, and state the state treasurer may provide an investment fund for local governments. It might provide a second investment pool with more long-term redemption options. That's on line 9, starting on line 9. If you have any questions about manager fees, how that would affect the state treasurer's budget, look at the fiscal note. Should have all the answers there that you might have in regards to this bill. That's the attempt, is to provide the same opportunity to our local governments that the state has had and utilized in investment funds. Again, this is long-term investing, penalties if the early withdrawal, everything like that. So I'd ask for the body's favorable consideration.
Roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
Senate File 19, having received the affirmative vote of two-thirds majority of the Senate, is assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Senate File 46, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 46, Asset Forfeiture 1, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move to introduction of Senate File 46 and ask for your favorable consideration. Senator Kinski is going to present this bill.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you introduced him.
Thank you, Mr. President.
What an introduction. Massive.
This bill moves into code the procedures and processes and protections for citizens whenever their property may be seized by the government pre-trial. For instance, guns, money, that sort of thing might be seized under suspicion of whatever crime. This documents the processes by which the officer on the scene is to actually effect that seizure, and it documents a procedure by which the due process protections of the citizen are protected, such that they have the right to a civil proceeding before the property is finally forfeited. You'll recall this was something that we worked on the last session. This came, it was vetoed. This came back, and I think a model of the Judiciary Committee and the Governor's Attorney General's Office, a model of collaboration in terms of fashioning this bill, and I think we'll find that it's something we can all agree upon if it is, we do receive the two-thirds introduction and favorable report to the floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Did you say
roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Escobel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Flatron?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
Senate File 9, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senator Bebout.
As I think you referred to the wrong Senate file, Senate File 46.
Thank you. Senate File 46. Having received two-thirds majority vote, is hereby referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 50, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 50, Sexual Assault, Position of Authority, sponsored by Senator Boner.
Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move introduction of Senate File 50 and ask for your favorable consideration. This bill seeks to eliminate a loophole that currently exists in our sexual assault statutes as it relates to teachers in a position of authority over students. We found out the hard way in my hometown that it is, under the current law, it is perfectly legal for a teacher to have a sexual relationship with a student if that student is 18 years or older. This bill seeks to change that situation. The state of Wyoming has a compelling interest to provide a safe learning environment free from sexual exploitation and grooming on the part of faculty and staff in our school districts. So on page 3 of the bill, you'll see that we make such predatory behavior, third-degree sexual assault, with a lesser penalty for sexual contact, so sexual contact, to maintain consistency with our sexual abuse of a minor statutes. Now, my co-sponsors, I realize this is a complicated subject, and we didn't want to overreact, so we did some work to clarify the definitions section to work in some sideboards and exceptions. We put sideboards in, so this will only apply to school district employees and students within the same school district. We also made exceptions for student employees of the district and circumstances in which the employee is less than 4 years older than the student. Additionally, the state must prove that employee actually knows the student is in the district. Keep in mind some of our larger school districts with several high schools in them. Now, I'd love nothing more than to tell you that this legislation is not necessary and maybe even urgent. But if you move this bill to committee and hear some of the stories of the victims of this type of predatory behavior, I believe you'll find that that just isn't the case. I acknowledge this isn't going to change what happened in my hometown. But with your support, is my hope that we can deter similar situations from happening in other parts of the state. So for those reasons, I humbly ask for your support.
Roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Barnard? I'm sorry. Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft? Aye. Dockstader.
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll.
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich.
Aye.
Aye. Escobel.
Aye.
Aye. Geis.
Aye.
Aye. Hastert.
Aye.
Aye. Hicks.
Aye.
Aye. Johnson.
Aye.
Aye. Kinski.
Aye.
Aye. Landon.
Aye.
Aye. Meyer.
Nope.
No. Pappas.
Aye.
Aye. Perkins.
No.
No. Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss.
Aye.
Aye. Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger.
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 27 aye, 3 no.
Senate file 15-550, having received two-thirds majority, is hereby referred to committee number 1, Judiciary. Senate file 54, first reading.
Senate file 54, appropriations to local governments codification, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move introduction of Senate File 54, sponsored by your Joint Corporations Elections and Political Subdivisions Interim Committee. This is in the Political Subdivisions part of that committee's jurisdiction. We've had formulas all along in the budget bills for distribution of local funds. What this is seeking to do is get out of the budget bill, put it into the regular statutes, and it's needed to be introduced for two reasons. Number one, we need a vehicle to get that in the statute, so it doesn't need to be in the budget bill. And second, it gives you a vehicle if you think there's something wrong with the distribution. This is your vehicle to get it changed. What we're doing right, the bill is written, I think it's just trying to codify what's there right now. But it does give us a vehicle if somebody wants to make changes. Mr. President, it's for those reasons that we seek introduction on this bill. I would urge a favorable vote.
Roll call.
Anderson.
Aye.
Aye. Barnard.
Aye.
Aye. Bebout.
Aye.
Aye. Boner.
Aye.
Aye. Burns.
Aye.
Aye. Case.
No.
No. Christensen.
Aye.
Aye. Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Aye. Kraft.
Aye.
Aye. Dockstader.
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll.
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich.
Aye.
Aye. Escobel.
Aye.
Aye. Geis.
Aye.
Aye. Hastert.
Aye.
Aye. Hicks.
Aye.
Aye. Johnson.
Aye.
Aye. Kinski.
Aye.
Aye. Landon.
Aye.
Aye. Meyer. Aye. Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Aye. Peterson.
Aye.
Aye. Ross.
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss.
Aye.
Aye. Scott.
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern.
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger.
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 aye, 1 no.
Senate File 54, having received two-thirds majority vote, is hereby referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 59.
Senate File 59, Deferred Compensation Automatic Enrollment Amendments 2, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee.
Senator, somebody volunteer, man. Deferred compensation, automatic enrollment in amendments. Senators Perkins and Ross can confer and see if they can do it together. President.
There you go.
Yes, you want me to take this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. President, I'd move the introduction of Senate File 59. My good friend is recovering from surgery and ask for your favorable consideration of both his surgery and your then two-thirds introductory vote. What this is Mr. President, is the retirement board came to us and asked us to do this. What you've got is in the deferred compensation plan for all state employees. It's an automatic key, and you have to opt out. And what this does, that there's a period of time, I think like 90 days or something like that, that you can change your mind and opt out of the program. And this makes it clear that when you opt out, that you get your contributions back if they follow you. So they don't remain behind, and you can get those back out. They're not trapped in the deferred comp forever. Ask for your favorable consideration. We can talk more about it.
Thank you. Senator Ross was still thinking about the death chair. Can't keep his mind off of it. Roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? Aye. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
Senate File 59, having received two-thirds majority vote, is hereby referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 60, first reading the bill.
Senate File 60, Public Health Nursing, sponsored by the Labor Committee.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move for introduction of Senate File 60 in the Public Health Nursing. Mr. President, we for years have had a mess in the public health nursing and how it was administered around the state. It's a joint state-county function. Counties put up some of the money, the state puts up the majority of it, and you had a mixture of county personnel and state personnel, and in places that and their supervision were causing a great deal of trouble. We had several attempts to remedy it with legislation from here, and they tended to come apart over the interests of the various parties involved. We motivated some of them with a few selected budget cuts, removed a filled position or two, and that got their attention, and we dealt with that. But we still had the mess, and the County Commissioners Association stepped forward and developed a solution. They did excellent work. We passed the solution 2 years ago on a temporary basis, and it has worked very well. There's a few tweaks that were needed. The County Commissioners Association reconvened their effort and have done marvelous work. This bill reflects their work. It's needed because it was a two-year sunset on the temporary fix we put in 2 years ago. So for those reasons, and I can't say enough good about the work that the County Commissioners Association did in getting this particular problem resolved, for all those reasons, Mr. President, I ask the Senate to introduce the bill.
Roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert? Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
Senate File 60, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is hereby referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Senate File 61, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 61, Occupational Health and Safety Act Civil Penalties, sponsored by the Labor Committee.
Senator Roth, or excuse me, Scott.
Mr. President, I move for the introduction of Senate File 61, the Labor Committee bill. What we're doing is conforming to a federal requirement. Since we last met, the Congress passed a law requiring that the fines in the OSHA programs be updated to reflect inflation, and we have until August to get in compliance, hence bring it to a budget session. This is one that, as the bill comes through, you're going to need to pay careful attention to it. Because if you think we ought to be out of the federal OSHA program, then you want to kill the bill. But that should be done on third reading with careful consideration, because there's some real pros and cons in that. If we're going to stay in or have any possibility or the possibility to make a rational decision, we need to introduce the bill, which would conform us to the federal requirements, and then take it through the normal process and consider very carefully whether that's something we want to do. But if we want to stay in, we've got no choice but to pass the bill. So I would urge its introduction, and then we can think about carefully about the policy involved where there are pros and cons, Mr. President. But we can't have that careful consideration unless we get the bill introduced.
Roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Escobel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern? Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
Senate File 61, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is hereby referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Senate File 63, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 63, Economic Development Programs Revisions, sponsored by the Management Audit Committee.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I introduce Senate File 63 for introduction, and I ask the body to vote to introduce this bill. This was a result of a management audit, and the resulting legislation here basically it standardizes the interest rates on the large loan guarantees, what we're basically doing is we're combining the large loan guarantees with the industrial development bonds, and industrial development bonds will be getting phased out since the projects are pretty much the same anyway. Among other things that it does is it sets the it's, as I said, it standardized the interest rate. It also states that the investment, the private, the investment from other sources has to be at least 25% of the total cost of the project. It says that multiple times. And, oh, and it also states that the cost of any expert employed for this shall be paid by the applicant, whoever is applying for it. And, Mr. Chairman, that's about all I can tell you in about a minute and a half on this bill. I would ask for introduction. The Audit Management Audit Committee would ask for introduction on this bill, and we can go into a further explanation on it.
Roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Escobel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Pappas? Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 28 aye, 2 no.
Senate File 63, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 9. Minerals. That takes us to the next order of business, which would be reports from standing committees. We have a journal report. Do you want to do that first? Oh, we have a journal report. Journal report.
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 8, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Wasserberger, chairman.
Oh, what a great report. Do we vote on the report? No, we don't. Oh, now he wants to. You give him a chairmanship, and now he wants to talk.
Mr. President, all I want to do is move the journal report.
Go move. All those papers say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
the report was mildly adopted. Senator Meyer, did you want privilege of the floor?
Yes, Mr. President. I've got a bill here, the Youth Challenge Program. Senate File 11 has an appropriation, so I ask it be re-referred to Appropriation Committee. It's got to be read in?
It's got to be read in, oh. Kurt, first, so we'll get it read in, and then we'll get you there. We know what you want to do, though.
I thought we had that.
We're just putting hurdles and hurdles in front of you. I think that takes us to reports from standing committees. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, respectfully reports that the file, Senate File 11, Youth Challenge Program, was referred to them and reports back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Senators Boner, Emmerich, Escobel, Johnson, and Meyer, ayes. Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, respectfully reports back Senate File 33, Vehicle Registration Shell Businesses, DuPass, with the recommendation of DuPass with the following amendments: Senators Boner, Emmerich, Esquivel, Johnson, and Meyer, ayes. On Senate File 11, submitted by Senator Meyer, Chairman, and on Senate File 33, submitted by Senator Meyer, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 35, Referendum Circulator Payment, respectfully reports back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senator Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 36, LLC Member and Manager Liability, respectfully reports back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 42, Occupational Therapy Practice Act, respectfully reports back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments: Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, ayes. Senator Case, Chairman.
Now, Senator Meyer.
A youth challenge program has an appropriation. I ask it to be re-referred to committee number 2, appropriations.
Without objection, Senate File 11 is re-referred to committee number 2, appropriations.
Without objection, Senate File number 11 is re-referred to committee number 2, appropriations. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business. Bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole to discuss bills on general file.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. Senator Peterson, please approach the desk. That's what's in the script.
First, good start. Committee of the Whole, come to order. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 33. Would the reading clerk please read in the Senate file?
Senate File 33, Vehicle Registration Shell Businesses, an act relating to motor vehicles. Sponsored by the Transportation Committee, was referred to Committee Number 9. The Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs Committee, to whom is referred Senate File 33, Vehicle Registration Shell Businesses, respectfully reports back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Senators Boner, Emmerich, Esquivel, Johnson, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I move in the committee to hold rise and report it do so with a do pass motion
on Senate File 33, Vehicle Registration and Shell Businesses. And I also move the first standing committee amendment to Senate File 33 and ask for its favorable consideration. We'll pick that up at the end of the bill, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 33, members, basically has to deal with...
I think your paper was hitting the mic.
Oh.
It sounded just like that.
All right, okay, all right. Okay. So Senate File 33, Mr. Chairman, basically deals with definitions of what a shell business is. It goes in, and that's in page 2. That definition is has to only do with the provisions in this act. There's some concern about from the Secretary of State's office whether that could bleed over into their statutes, but if you look at the top of the page, it says except as otherwise provided as used in this act. So these are just definitions. It goes into say some factors that might indicate that you have a shell business, and that's if you have the absence of a specific business activity or purpose, or failure to maintain a physical location in a foreign jurisdiction, failure to employ individuals or provide those persons with Internal Revenue Services forms, WTs, and tax statements, or failure to file federal tax returns, or failure to file a required state tax return in foreign jurisdictions. We asked the Secretary of State's office if there could be other things that could indicate there's a shell business. They indicated to us that, indeed, there probably are. It could be a long, long list, but these were the ones that that kind of stood out. So we'll do a little research and see if there's anything else that needs to be added to this. But we're essentially trying to make a determination as whether or not somebody has a sham. And the sham that they're perpetrating, the reason is to avoid the payment of registration fees, title fees, licensing fees, and sales tax fees when they're purchasing vehicles or major expenditures outside the state of Wyoming and not paying the use taxes. So we need that that definition. Then we say that if it's determined that a resident is in the control of a vehicle that is a shell business, it shall be rebuttably presumed that the resident is the actual owner of the vehicle. Went over that term, rebuttably presumed. It's presumed, but there's a due process that the person can rebut the facts as what's been determined. So the due process procedure is in the bill. It goes on that there's other things that we consider, whether the resident was an initial purchaser of the vehicle, whether the resident operated or stored a vehicle in Wyoming for any period of time, and whether the resident is a partner or a member or shareholder of the shell business that purports to be the owner of the vehicle. And usually that's the case, is that the LLC, that's a sham business, buys the vehicle to try to get away from paying the fees associated. We say that the department can make those determinations in consultation with the county treasurer or a Wyoming peace officer to determine whether or not what the facts are in the case, whether it's a resident, whether it's a shell business. Then we go on to say that the resident shall owe all the taxes, fees, and the fees include both the titles and the registration fees, and those are due. And we also provide for a penalty of up to 75% of the unpaid registration fees. And those fees on a $250,000 motorhome, it was a testimony in the committee that it could be somewhere around $1,800. So it would be 75% of that on those large ticket items. Then, Mr. Chairman, we do have some exemptions on registrations, and it's except as otherwise provided in this statute that vehicles owned by a non-resident validly registered in another state or county displaying registration plates in accordance with the laws of the state and the country. And if you get into that subsection there, there's a lot of reasons why you don't have to get your plates licensed in the state of Wyoming. If you're just in there for less than 30 days, if you're doing a job and you're in and out of the state, and those are fairly well thought out, and those exemptions, we don't do anything with those exemptions. They stay the same as they are. We'll get to Section 3, which is where the amendment is, Mr. Chairman. It's essentially just a little cleanup. We delete effectively and put the right word effective. And so it reads the act is effective immediately. That's just a typo in the drafting process. So I'd call for the question on the amendment.
Question on the amendment.
Has to be read in by the, yeah. Will the reading clerk read in the amendment?
Senate File 33, Standing Committee, Amendment Number 1, page 6, line 14.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I believe I moved that, but I will move it again to make sure that everything's in order and ask for the body's favorable consideration.
Question.
Question being called. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment passes. We're back on the bill. Senator Meyer.
Chairman, I think this is a very important bill from the standpoint that we have a considerable amount of this skullduggery going on around the state. Yes, it is. I'll use those strong, strong profane words, Mr. Chairman, in describing the caricature and the deeds that these people are perpetrating. It's horrible, Mr. Chairman, and it really is. And not to make too much light of it, but we're talking about substantial funds, and we're talking about people that they want to have all the privileges of this state. They want to make sure they don't have income tax, and they want to make sure they have low property tax and live in this state, but they don't want to pay for any of the benefits that inure to the folks of this state. So they go someplace else. They buy their vehicles and these large ticket items in another state. It influences our commerce in a negative factor because our dealers in this state don't have those sales that they can put on their books because these are all out of state purchases. And so that affects a lot of the franchises in this state. And negatively affects the Mr. Chairman, and it affects the bottom line of the revenue of the state, too. So from my perspective, if somebody wants to live in Wyoming and take all the benefits that this state offers, you know, they need to step up to the plate. And if they love to live someplace where there's not sales tax, they can go there and pay an income tax. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question of the sponsor of the bill, and as I read it, and particularly on page 3 where we promulgate rule to determine if a resident is in control of the vehicle, what if the resident just buys a vehicle in his own name and is not under a shell business? Are you able to capture them in this bill?
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two questions for the sponsor. The first goes to, we hear this is being done a lot and this is a major problem. I would like more specifics on how often this is being done and how major of a problem is this in terms of actual expense to the state to promulgate and generate all of this. And that kind of gets at my second question, which is there's some discussion about whose responsibility it is, but how is this really going to play out? Is there going to be an investigation, a police investigation? Is this going to be something that the county treasurers pick up and decide that they want to pursue? How will this logistically take place so that we can find these perpetrators and make sure that we hold them responsible?
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Adding to the list of questions, the concern I have is that if the shell corporation they're describing is an entity that exists, and a corporate outside the state owning an asset in Wyoming, how do you go about commanding or demanding the corporate records book to know for certain that that's the only asset it owns and it doesn't own assets in the another state or have some other corporate business without somehow commanding them to bring all their corporate records?
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill highlights the problem we have in Wyoming is the taxes are too high on some of these machines, some of these units, and consequently the owner is looking for an alternative in another state of which there's some very cheap alternatives that he can go to. So maybe there's more than needs to be addressed besides just the perpetrator.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I understand and applaud the goal of this bill. I don't know if shell corporations are necessarily the perpetrator you want to go after. I live, our town is about 15 miles from the northern state north of us, which has no sales tax. And so if you just drive over the border, you can take a post office box out in a little town that is really nothing more than a post office, and you're saving yourself thousands of dollars by doing it. But I don't know many people who are doing a shell corporation to do it. They're just taking out the post office box in their own name and having it addressed and getting their plates that way.
Further discussions? Further questions for the Senator Geis.
What this really pertains to is the big motorhomes and all those things. If you look around the state, most of them's got an Oregon plate or a Montana plate on them, and that's what they're going after. This has been around as long as I've been here.
Okay. Back to you, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Those are all good questions. I'll try to answer that. The individual, basically, I believe is covered under our regular statutes as far as our use tax that people are supposed to pay if they buy something outside of the state and it comes in. But the problem that we have with the shell corporation, especially in the state in the north of us, their statutory basically says if you have an LLC, it's determined by their laws that they are a resident of that state. And what we have in that particular state is that we have a pervasive advertisement and scheme that basically on their website says, you know, come to our dealership, buy our full-price motorhome. You can save $17,000 to $25,000 in sales tax. We'll go ahead and set you up with an LLC and do all of that. It's all a package deal. So that's how pervasive it's become. Now, the department has told us that they didn't have the statutory authority to make those determinations in a shell corporation. Now, I think they have the statutory authority in the use part of it, but this would allow law enforcement, if they would see basically a car that was parked on the side of the road or at a residence or someplace for over 30 days that had that plate, they could run the plate. They could find out where it was registered, to whom it was registered. That would give them the idea as whether or not it was registered to an LLC. And then at that point in time, there has to be an investigation. There has to be due process as far as how to get the facts that they need to determine whether or not it's a shell business. Now, exactly how those are going to occur, you know, I can maybe get some more detail from the Highway Patrol, how they would go about it. But without this, they can't go forward on anything but individuals. And they haven't really been too excited about going toward individuals because it's a hard thing to do. It is. It's hard to make those determinations. But without this, I think there's a 12 or 13 states that have gone down this road. The testimony was that there's been well over $1 million in some of the states, almost $2 million in California. I'm not sure how much it's going to bring back to us. But what it will do, I think, is that it'll let people know that there's a law in the books, and if they want to chance it, then there's a possibility that, you know, just like anything else, that they might get hammered if they break the law. And it'll draw attention to it, and I think we can draw attention to it in the states of the north and these other states that are doing this. Now, it's not going to affect the regular business. If you're a trucking company and you're buying your truck someplace else and you got a regular business in that state and you got a business in this state, that's not going to make any difference because you have that place of business up there. But you can't basically have a sham operation and try to skate away without paying the taxes. So I think I addressed the individual. How does it work? I'm not sure. There might have been one other question that I may not have addressed. But folks, if we need to change this to make sure that it's clear that the other statutes that I think are there for use tax anyway on individuals, I think they're already in place. But we can double check that, check with the department. We can get you some information on how the Highway Patrol or the local sheriff office might address this. But, you know, it's a hole in our law. Certainly would work with anybody that wants to make sure that we have the right due process in that. It's a rebuttable presumption. So if they say, oh, no, I'm not a shell business or I don't have to pay those taxes, they can go come forward and make their case.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I guess my overall concern I would describe as I've listened to the explanation as follows. If the abuse is that a Wyoming resident is acquiring an asset that is parked in his garage or is in Wyoming where its primary use is in Wyoming and it's sitting here, and he's not paying his sales or use tax, then we go back and look at the law with respect to assigning tax, and you say, if your vehicle is here more than X time, more than other than maybe a week a year, if it's here at all, then we're going to tax it. But you focus on the person whose beneficial use is of the vehicle and whether the vehicle is in Wyoming. In fact, what difference does it make if a shell corporation, if a major oil and gas company or any company has an office here and they have 50 employees with 50 vehicles and they're licensing them up in some other state, they either have to apportion or they better license those vehicles in Wyoming where their primary use is. We do those sorts of analysis. But if I'm a Wyoming resident, and I happen to have a home in Oregon, and I've created an entity to hold the ownership of a mobile home or a car or whatever it is, or I've got a place in Mexico, and I choose not to register it in Wyoming, I might choose to own that an entity, and that's its only sole purpose is to own and operate vehicles. So what we're doing is, we're going to say if you create an entity that's this purpose, it's a shell corporation and something that's inappropriate. We're focusing on the nature of the entity. Seems to me that calling it a shell an entity is another way of saying you can't own a vehicle. I submit to you, if you can set up a corporation and you can get insurance and you can put that vehicle, but the issue is the use tax. So let's go back and focus on sales and use tax. And that is, if you have a motor home that is in your driveway two-thirds of the times of the year, then you go out and you say, how long has it been in Wyoming? But what would be wrong with buying if you've got a place somewhere else? And I suppose even if you've got a child or someplace living somewhere else and you buy it, but you never bring it in the state of Wyoming. On what basis are you taxing it? It didn't drive here. It didn't get used here. But we're creating this whole entity that we're saying now is a shell corporation, and you may have a variety of reasons for having an entity, and it's not a shell entity. So it's not the harm. It's the approach that we're getting, trying to use to get to that abuse.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, while we're piling on, I understand the problem that's trying to be solved by this legislation, and I think it's something, it sounds like it needs to be something that's looked at. But as you look at the approach of how you're doing, just to follow up on what my good friend from Albany County just mentioned, is if you look at page 2, line 13, it says, absence of a specific business activity or purpose. I can tell you that as someone who creates and helps people who create limited liabilities to other entities, a specific business activity or purpose for an entity is oftentimes just owning property. I mean, we have all kinds of clients who, in their effort to try and control risk and other things, they spin off and they have other things. And really the only purpose of those entities is to own property. And so that probably needs some work if it's going to work. There needs to be something more than just that specific business activity, because that is obviously a specific business activity. The failure to maintain a physical location in the foreign jurisdiction. In most states are like Wyoming. You have to have a registered agent who has a street address. So even if you have a limited liability company in our green neighbors to the west or our neighbors to the north, you've got a physical residence because your registered agent has a physical address. And so that will be the physical address of the in the foreign jurisdiction. Keep in mind also when we talk about limited liability companies that also any legal entity also includes trusts. So this will pull trusts, can potentially be could be revocable trusts, could be irrevocable trusts or business trusts. Any of those things potentially now be considered to be a shell business. And then finally, you get down to C, failure to employ individual persons and provide those persons with Internal Revenue Service form, W-2 wage and tax statements. I got to tell you, I create business things all day that nobody's going to be an employee. You don't want employees, particularly if it's owning property. If you want independent contractors, you may not have. Now, sometimes you can argue that an independent contractor is an employee, but this is talking about individual persons, which when you talk about individual persons, most time, a person can be a corporation, can be an individual. An individual person, I think, would probably the indication would be that you're talking about a man or a woman. So you have those things, but we're talking about W-2 wage, but oftentimes we try and make sure if you have independent contractors, printing out things that aren't W-2. And the fourth one, the top page 3, is we're talking about filing federal tax returns or failure to file a required state tax return. Now, Wyoming is not the only state that doesn't have a tax return. We don't have income taxes, so we're not filing income tax returns in this state. Now, if maybe that's what we're talking about, filing a return on personal property, or there could be other types of returns that could be, but it's not specific in there. So what we've done in the end, if we've done that, is we've got these general four, not exhaustive lists, but here's a list of things that the department can consider, and now we're going to turn the department loose to compile regulations to interpret that. Those are incredibly broad parameters to turn loose. That is pretty much a carte blanche to the department to compute to promulgate whatever rules and regulations they want to control that entity. And so unless there's some ways that we can tighten this down, I think we're missing the mark a little bit on this.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, I don't consider those comments by my colleagues piling on. I think it's good construction, and that's the process that we go through, is to try to make a bill better. We all understand that we have a problem. We have to work together to figure out how is the best way to do it. What we did is that we started with essentially the same language that was in Iowa and almost the same language that was in the other 12 to 13 states that have enacted it. And that was our jumping off point. And our good attorneys on the floor, I think, can lend us a lot of guidance in exactly what type of language that we need in here to make sure that we can make those determinations when somebody is trying to basically not pay the taxes, the use taxes that should be due and payable, and the registration fees and the license fees. And that's the goal that we have, and I certainly would like to have the opportunity, Mr. Chairman, to work with our esteemed attorneys over there on the floor to come up with language that fits Wyoming's standard. And I'm good with that. I think we can come up with something. I've seen the craftsmanship of these folks in action before, and I'm sure that we can move this thing forward and get something that's going to work. Yeah. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I hope we move this on to second reading. We can all get together and find the exact verbiage that we need. Take a close look at what the verbiage is in the statutes right now and how that interacts with this particular bill, because there's a lot in the statute books that has a determination about trying to make sure that when people are residents, there's a definition of resident in the statute. There's a definitions that help us give us guidelines as when the department determines on an individual basis when people are trying to not pay the use taxes that are due. I remember the other thing from the good senator from Casper about maybe perhaps some of our sales tax fees are too high. Well, when the state next to you is zero, and they have their alternative is a state income tax, that's necessarily not an alternative I think we need to look at as a state income tax, so we don't have to worry about people not paying registration fees or sales tax, you know. But everybody around us has a different taxing structure. In some places, we've got a lot more benefits in our taxing structures as far as economic development and other things. Other states have a different taxing structure, but we have to live with the repercussions sometimes when our citizens don't want to pay taxes in Wyoming and don't want to pay taxes in Montana. That's the type of individuals we're looking at, and we have to figure out how to make this process work so the people that owe taxes in Wyoming, whether sales or use tax, are paying the taxes that are owed. And that's what this bill attempts to shoehorn into our current statutes. So I certainly sit down with the other attorneys in the back row, and not counting myself as attorney, but the attorneys in the back row, and look at that and get us something that will work. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another line of concern is a circumstance where you have somebody who's setting this up on a perfectly legitimate basis and they qualify. So maybe they're the next state to the east, and they've already paid a substantial registration fee and substantial taxes. But they qualify because it looks like they have that vehicle in the state of Wyoming more than they have it in that state to the east of us. Under that circumstance, it appears from the way this is structured that they would still, if it was determined by the department in consultation with the Department of Revenue, a county treasurer, and a Wyoming peace officer, if they believe it's a shell business, then they would be obligated to pay the full registration fees to the state of Wyoming also, in addition to any other fees, plus a 75% penalty. So you could get into a circumstance where they've already paid an equivalent amount of taxes to another state and another county, and then the folks in Wyoming decide, well, it's been here more often than it's been over there, so we'll get them to pay our full, and you end up with a double taxation completely plus a penalty. And I really don't see why that wouldn't take place or couldn't take place based on the way this is structured. So that's an additional concern for the sponsors.
For the discussion? Senator Meyer.
I think that last supposition would probably not happen from the standpoint if they were paying taxes in another jurisdiction equal to Wyoming's. More likely than not, they would have some kind of a business entity over there or some kind of a residence where there wouldn't be any reason for that vehicle to basically be on the other side of the state line. And You know, I guess I can get with the department and find out, because there are some circumstances where you'll have an agricultural operation that's right on the state line in both sides. And I can find out how they handle that. It may be they register some of them in Wyoming and some of them in Nebraska. I'm not sure how they do it. Or if their house is in Nebraska, maybe that's all in Nebraska. And if their house is in Wyoming, maybe it's all in Wyoming. You know, it kind of depends on where the actual residence is. And those are probably the circumstances that normally occur today. But I can check in on the department and see how they handle that and get back with you. But I don't think that we're going to ask them to do in those circumstances, because it probably isn't a shell on the other side of the line if they made the determination themselves that they're going to pay the equal amount of tax in another state.
Further discussion on the bill? I refer to the question. Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that do so with a favorable recommendation for Senate File 33, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 33 has passed committee of the whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 35. The reading clerk will please read in the Senate file.
Senate File 35, Referendum Circulator Payment, an act relating to elections, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 9. Which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senator Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Point of order, you said Committee Number 9. I believe it's Committee Number 7.
That is correct. Thank you, Senator.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 35, Referendum Circulator Payments. For an explanation of this bill, I would yield to Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, this is a repealer. What's being repealed in 2224-420A is a prohibition to pay referendum petition gatherers. I guess the current state of the law is that that's an infringement on First Amendment rights, and what this does, basically by repealing that, allows petition gatherers to be paid, and I believe it's, defer to the chairman. I think it's can be on a per signature basis. Yes, it can be on a per signature basis. And this is in gathering referendums. And as I say, it's the current state of the law, and we're just repealing our prohibition against petition gathering signatures.
Discussion on the bill. Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that do so with favorable recommendation on Senate File 35, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 35 has passed the committee of the whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 36. The reading clerk will please read in the Senate file.
Senate File 36, LLC Member and Manager Liability, an act relating to limited liability companies, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, was referred to Committee Number 7. Which returned a recommendation that it do pass. Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate file number 36, LLC member and manager liability. For an explanation of this bill, I yield to Senator Scott.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, this bill comes to us as a result of a court decision. It relates to limited liability corporations. They're very common. Actually, Wyoming pioneered their use. They are designed to give you a corporate form with the liability protections that a corporate form classically comes with. At the same time, you get taxed on an individual basis. The taxes just pass through. And what happened was there was a squirrely court decision that said that if the taxes pass through, then you lose the liability protection, and they can pierce the corporate veil and come after personal assets. And that cast a shadow on the whole notion of limited liability corporations being incorporated in Wyoming. We had been the leading state on that because we'd had the best law. Eventually, we got competition from other states that passed similar laws, and here come our courts saying, oops, you don't want a Wyoming one, because we'll use it. And this was a very novel use of an excuse for piercing the corporate veil. And what this bill does is corrects that, says that if you're going to elects to be treated or as a disregarded or pass-through entity for tax purposes, and we're really talking federal income tax here, they're not grounds. It says neither is the failure or there are grounds for imposing liability in members or managers for debts, et cetera. It restores the law to where it was before this particular court decision, which I'm told was an example of tough cases make for bad laws. And, Mr. Chairman, that's the long and the short of the bill. It's something we need to restore the protections people think they have with limited liability corporations have always had, and to correct the mistake that was made. So I would urge its adoption. Be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman, I don't think there's any reason why our rules forbidding use of proper names would prevent the disclosure of the case, which is the Greenhunter case. I think it's a case that exists out there. It's the Greenhunter case. It is very problematic. The explanation is accurate. There are states now that are vying for and actually trying to induce companies that are filed as LLCs in Wyoming to move to their jurisdictions because they have a friendlier law as a result of this case. My overriding concern is that having litigated with this case and we're trying to sort out what the parameters are, it certainly is a case where the pendulum went too far and we don't know where it was going to come back and rest. But my general concern is that this case would suggest this solution that's proposed would assume that this is the only problem with the Greenhunter case, as though there were a litany of things that were listed by the Greenhunter court that said that this is the reason why we're going to pierce a single member limited liability company. Now, here's the problem. If you go out and you say, I'm going to do Phil Nicholas Consulting and you're doing a business, you're the only shareholder, you're the only you're only the member, you may be the only officer. Now, years and years ago, it used to be that you had to have a president and a secretary, and you had to have three or four people in a corporation to make it valid. We determined, as the sponsor just described, as our colleague from Casper just described, determined that's not inappropriate. You should be able to get the benefits of an LLC. But when you have this LLC treatment, you may choose to have your tax return filed as a consolidated return. So maybe just like a partnership, you file it under your own member tax return. But the Greenhunter case has greater implications beyond that single element. It is not simply that element that it pierced the corporate veil. Other states, I think, have had a more broad solution. So this is a good bill. It needs to be moved forward. But I think as we look at it the next day or so, that we need to really focus on, does this solve the Greenhunter problem, or does it just pick off one piece of the Greenhunter problem? And so I think we ought to take it more carefully. I know the where the language was proposed from, but it, I'm just not sure that it's broad enough to solve the problem.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, it may very well be that there's other problems in that case that need to be solved. This was the one that was brought to the Corporations Committee because it does cast a shadow on Wyoming LLCs, and we need to remove that. So I would urge the bill go forward. We need to be careful here because this is an area that will get litigated to make sure we don't broaden the bill more than is constitutionally permissible. If somebody wants to solve the other problems in that case, and he's accurate as to which case it is, Mr. Chairman. This is a budget session. We need to deal with some of the emergencies here, and this the court did create an emergency that is really hurting Wyoming LLCs, and that's what this bill deals with. We can see if somebody has some suggestions for broadening it, but I do urge a degree of caution, Mr. Chairman, in considering that to make sure that we're germane to the bill and don't try to do too much and get us in legal trouble.
Further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 36, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 36 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 42. The reading clerk will please read it in the Senate file.
Senate File 42, Occupational Therapy Practice Act, an act relating to professions and occupations, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, was referred to Committee Number 7. Which returned to committee recommendation of due pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Case?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 42, Occupational Therapy Practice Act. Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment, and I would ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 42, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 21, line 9, page 21, line 10.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the standing committee amendment, and for an explanation of this bill and the amendment, I would yield to Senator Scott.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman. This bill is a redo of the Occupational Therapy Practice Act. Mr. Chairman, I ask first we deal with the amendment. And, Mr. Chairman, the amendment is in the repealer section. And what happened, I volunteered, I don't know what I was thinking, but I volunteered to assist in the Corporations Committee in working up this bill. And there was a miscommunication with the LSO. I told them to get some things out of the bill because we weren't amending them, was what I had in mind. So I wanted them to just stay in the existing law, and they thought I meant to repeal them. And that wound up in the repealer section. It was caught because one of those things was the standard boilerplate that we have in all our licensure acts from Family Services Department on taking somebody's license away that wasn't paying their child support. That was one of those sections that caught in this, but it turned out to be more than just that. And what the amendment does is correct that misunderstanding, for which I apologize to the Senate. I just didn't communicate effectively with the LSO drafting staff, so that's all this amendment does, is correct the effect of that miscommunication. We didn't intend to repeal those sections. Be happy to answer any questions of the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question being called for. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment, number one, to Senate File 42, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment passes. We're back on the bill. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, this is a redo of the Practice Act. It was first passed in the early 1990s, and what's happened in the real world since then is the occupational therapy profession has been developing. The things that they do have been expanded. They're doing more things than they used to be, and they should be. They're doing them well, and it's very useful. And the occupational therapy people wanted to update the scope of practice that's in their act. I think that was the primary motivation. You can see that starting on page 3. I have not heard any controversy over what they're doing there. That is stuff that they do, and that's the way they want to describe it. The other major purpose in this was they had been referring to registered occupational therapists and certified occupational therapists. Those are terms that deals with a private company that does those things, actually administers their exams, and they want to get those references out of the statute. We think that's appropriate. It's a nomenclature thing, doesn't really change the real world any. And you'll find that throughout the act. Occupational therapy is one of those things where if you look at the scope of practice, a lot of the things in there are things that other health professions do. Certain of the doctors do, physical therapists do, quite a number of people. And some of the things are things that probably quite a number of people do in terms of talking about occupations and things that can help. And so the prohibition in this act, both as it is before us today in this bill and as it is in the statute now, is not that you can't do the things that are part of the scope of the occupational therapy practice, but you can't call yourself an occupational therapist unless you are. Because, Mr. Chairman, occupational therapists do those things with a degree of professional, particular professional skill and training. And so you don't want consumer fraud perpetrated by somebody calling himself an occupational therapist. It isn't. And that's what's forbidden. So an implication of that is that you're not fencing anybody out of doing any of those things that are termed occupational therapy. You don't need special exceptions for the other professions, given the way this act is written. So that's not an issue here. And whenever I work up a Therapy Practice Act, I say, where's the fence? And I can assure you, with the protection of the requirement to be licensed to use the term occupational therapist or occupational therapy assistant, but no prohibition on other people doing those things, there's no fence there. The only fence I can find, and it's very minor, is on, and I will point it out, on page 6, talking about telehealth services. says an occupational therapist providing telehealth service shall be licensed in Wyoming. If the person is receiving services in Wyoming, they wanted that, and the Corporations Committee went along with them, saying that gives the board authority to over those occupational therapists if they do something wrong. I'm not sure I particularly agree with that, but I point that out as the only fencing in here, and it's very minor. So with that, Mr. Chairman, we did, one of the other things we did here was we simplified things by, they had a term of unprofessional conduct, and we took all the evil things that people can do in a profession, sexual abuses, not reporting problems to the board, reporting false information to the board, all those sort of things, being convicted of a crime related to occupational therapy. We rolled that into the definition of unprofessional conduct, which then makes avoid some duplicative wording later in the statute, and I think that's just improved the drafting. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. A quick question, since we were just talking about unprofessional conduct. Page 8, lines 1 through 3, where we talk about a 30-day notice time requirement, is that standard in other type of bills like this? That could be pretty short when you look at the final judgment settlement involved in the occupational therapist. A lot of times, we get into these time limits, 30 days in a lot of different places, and sometimes it can be working against a person, and so I just wonder if that's a consistent period of time, or are you giving any thought to that?
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know that it's consistent, and I don't know that it would make any great difference if you brought an amendment to make it 60 days. The world isn't going to come to an end. I can see where the professional board, they have more optimism than I do about malpractice really meaning malpractice rather than that the lawyers caught you in something. I think it's not uncommon to have this kind of notice requirement. I don't know that the 30 days is anything magic to that. I would caution if you go too long, then it's something you can go through the cracks and not get done. But if somebody wants to increase that, I don't think it makes a lot of difference.
Further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 42, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 42 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Messages or anything?
I don't know if I'll do that. I just hear this one.
Okay. The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 33, do pass, amended. Senate File 35, do pass. Senate File 36, do pass. Senate File 42, do pass, amended. Senator Peterson, Chairman.
Senator Peterson.
President, I move that...
I move the adoption of the committee report.
I move the adoption of the committee report, Mr. President.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The committee of the whole report has been adopted. I think we have some reports from standing committees.
Mr. President, your committee, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 37, Boards and Commissions Party Affiliation, respectfully reports same back to Senate with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Senator Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, Scott. Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 8, Bicycle and Pedestrian System Task Force, respectfully reports back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Anderson, Cooper, Kraft, Johnson. Senator Cooper, Chairman.
That clear the desk? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Are there any messages? Messages? Senator Von Flatern.
No, you're not.
Let me get you here.
Is the mic on?
Thank you.
Okay. Committee number 9, Minerals Committee, will meet tomorrow at noon, about 15 minutes afternoon recess in Jonah Room S18, which I think is down that little hallway to our right and our left. Senate File 7, Landfill Remediation Priority List. Senate File 18, Competitive Bid Specification Requirements. Senate File 23, NRC Agreement State Amendments. Senate File 28, Carbon Capture Storage and Sequestration Permit.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet 30 minutes after we recess here. Give you a chance to grab a bite, but we'll meet in room S19 to discuss Senate File 20, Sales and Use Tax Remedy Revisions, and Senate File 21, Mineral Tax Archaic Provisions.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will continue to meet at the lunch hour here immediately to continue our discussion on the budget bills in room L54, since the JAC committee room is still under water.
Let's hope that's your office and not your budget. Okay. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet Wednesday, February 10th at 8 a.m. in the Jonah Room S18. Consider the following bills: Senate File 30, Initiative Review Process; Senate File 47, Juvenile Sex Offender Risk Assessment; and Senate File 48, Criminal Justice Reform.
Any further announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.